I'm not going to ask you to necessarily turn in your Bibles. If you want to keep that passage handy from Ephesians 1 and 2, that would be fine. I'm not going to really do an exposition of those verses tonight. Just want to share some things. We'll be reading different passages of Scripture. Came across something this week that I thought was interesting. Back in 2007, in anticipation of a new animated movie release of the Ten Commandments, Kelton Research conducted a poll of 1,000 people to determine basic knowledge of the Ten Commandments. 80% of those polled knew that a Big Mac had two all-beef patties, and 62% knew that it had pickles. But less than 50% could remember even 7 of the Ten Commandments. Further polling of the man on the street interviews also bore grave news. Testing knowledge of the Ten Commandments versus popular culture knowledge, most people polled could remember the names of all 4 of the Beatles rock group. But many, many could not remember even 1 commandment. Not even 1. Now, I would expect better of you. I know that many of you, if not most of you, could probably recite all 10 of the 10 commandments. Many of you could even do them in order from first to the 10th. Anybody want to give it a shot? Okay, we'll do it together then. What's the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. That's right. What's the second? No idols, no graven image, right? What's the third? We're doing these shorthand, obviously. The third, don't take the name of the Lord in vain, right? The fourth, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. See, you know them. Why were you so shy? The fifth, my favorite. That's right. Honor your father and mother. Number 6. Pardon me? Don't kill. No murder, really. Not talking about all kids, talking about murder. The 7th commandment, don't commit adultery. 8. Don't steal. You shall not steal. 9th. Yeah, you shall not bear false witness. Somebody does know them all. And 10. The one we all break all the time, right? In our gotta have it and gotta have more and gotta have what everybody else has. Don't covet. So I was proven right. Y'all know the Ten Commandments. But this past week, many of us at least recognized, whether we celebrated it or not, a very important holiday, right? Reformation Day. Okay. You didn't think I was going to say something else, did you? Yeah. Wednesday was Reformation Day, which marks the day that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg, which sparked what is known in history as the Protestant Reformation, which is the greatest revival, genuine revival the church has ever known, that Christianity has ever experienced. So I have a question, not about the Ten Commandments, but about the Reformation. The Reformation was kind of founded and expanded and spread based upon 5 truths. They're called the 5 solas of the Reformation. Do you know what those are? I mean, they are equally as important as the Ten Commandments. They are. Because they protect, they capture and they protect the gospel. But what are the 5 solas? I've already given you a clue to the, in the title of the sermon tonight. Sola, soli, solo. So that's 3 right there, if you know what they go with, right? So the first one is Okay, that's one of them. That's the solo Christo, all right, or Christ alone. That salvation is found in Christ alone. What's another one? Faith alone. That's right. Sola fide. Now, I don't really know Latin, so I may not pronounce all those Latin words correctly. That is faith alone. We are justified by faith alone. What's another? That's two. Grace alone. That's right. Sola gratia. So grace alone. Salvation is by grace alone. Okay, we've got two more. Soli Deo Gloria. That's right. Soli Deo, to the glory of God alone. And the one that I spent some time on this morning. Sola Scriptura, or Scriptura. Scripture alone is our standard or our authority. I just want to briefly look at what each of these mean. You know what they mean, but just kind of refresh us and then bring together a little bit about why these are just as important as the Ten Commandments, briefly. The first one, in, if you look up wherever in a systematic theology or different places, the five solas, you will always or almost always find the first one listed is sola scriptura. It is considered what's called the formal principle of the Reformation. In other words, it's what gives us the rest of them. In 1521, at the historic interrogation of Luther at the Diet of Worms, he declared his conscience to be captive to the Word of God, saying, "Unless I am overcome with testimonies from Scripture or with evident reasons, for I believe neither the Pope nor the councils, since they have often erred and contradicted one another, I am overcome by the Scripture text which I have adduced, and my conscience is bound by God's Word." Similarly, the Belgic Confession stated, "We believe that the Holy Scriptures fully contain the will of God, and that whatsoever man ought to believe unto salvation is sufficiently taught therein. Neither may we consider any writings of men, however holy these men may have been, of equal value with those divine scriptures, nor ought we to consider custom or the great multitude or antiquity or succession of times and persons or councils, decrees, or statutes as of equal value with the truth of God. Therefore, we reject with all our hearts whatsoever does not agree with this infallible rule." You probably didn't catch everything that was in there. But basically, that confession, along with Luther's testimony, his stance, was made to stand against what was common in that day, giving authority to things in addition to Scripture, like councils, like the Pope when he speaks ex cathedra from his seat, like tradition and other things. They were given equal standing. And the Reformer said, no, it's Scripture alone that is our authority, that is our standard. And I'm not going to read any scriptures to reinforce that, because I read quite a few this morning. So if you weren't here, if you need the sermon, it'll be on the web later this week. Or you can order a CD. They're free, all right? You get what you pay for. Okay. All right. The second sola is for the glory of God alone. Soli Deo Gloria. The Reformation reclaimed the scriptural teaching of the sovereignty of God over every aspect of the believer's life. All of life is to be lived to the glory of God. As the Westminster Shorter Catechism asks, some of you probably learned that as a child, what is the chief end of man? The reply, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We were made to glorify God. This great and all-consuming purpose was emphasized by those in the 16th and 17th centuries who sought to reform the church according to the Word of God. In contrast to the monastic division of life into sacred versus secular perpetuated by the Roman Catholic Church, the Reformers saw all of life to be lived under the Lordship of Christ. Every activity of the Christians be sanctified unto the glory of God. Therefore, this dichotomy, this division of life into, well, that's holy, that's sacred, and that's secular, is not to be found in Scripture. Jesus is Lord of all. It's all sacred. We have been bought with a price. We belong to God at every moment. Everything we do is to be done unto the glory of God. As the Scripture says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 9:31. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Peter wrote that, 1 Peter 4:11. He has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Revelation 1:6. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. 2 Peter 3:18. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Ephesians 3:21. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Revelation 7:12. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Romans 11:36. Sola Scriptura, soli Deo Gloria. For the glory of God alone. And then the third is solo Christo. We are saved by Christ's work alone. Christ alone. Christ plus nothing else or no one else. The Reformation called the church back to faith in Christ as the sole mediator between God and man. While the Roman Catholic Church held that there is a purgatory and that the souls there detained are helped by the intercessions of the faithful, and that saints are to be venerated and invoked, that their relics are to be venerated, the Reformers taught that salvation was by Christ's work alone. As John Calvin said in the Institutes of the Christian Religion, Christ stepped in, took the punishment upon himself, and bore the judgment due to sinners. With his own blood, he expiated the sins which made them enemies of God and thereby satisfied him. We look to Christ alone for divine favor and fatherly love. Likewise, the Heidelberg Catechism, another Reformation catechism. Question 30 asks, do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and happiness in saints, in themselves, or in anywhere else? The answer, the reply, they do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete savior, or that they who by a true faith receive the savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. Either Jesus did it all, or we have to do something to complete it, to finish it. And if we have to do something, we are in deep weeds. We are in big trouble because we will never be able to do enough. Jesus paid it all. As the Scripture says, there is one God. And one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time, 1 Timothy 2:5-6. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. That's Colossians 1, 13 through 18. Solo Christo. In Christ alone, by Christ alone, are we saved. And then there is sola gratia, by grace alone. We are saved by grace alone. A central cry of the Reformation was salvation by grace. Though the Roman Catholic Church taught that the Mass is a sacrifice which is truly propitiatory, that is, it placates God, it satisfies for his wrath for sin, and that by the Mass God grants us grace and the gift of penitence, remits our faults and even our enormous sins, the Reformers return to the biblical doctrine of salvation by grace through faith. Our righteous standing before God is imputed to us by grace as a gift because of the work of Christ Jesus our Lord. In contrast to the doctrines of self-merit taught by many religions, sola gratia and the accompanying doctrines of grace, total depravity, unconditional election, particular redemption, and perseverance of the saints were preached by all the Reformers throughout the Protestant movement. As the Baptist Confession of 1689 says, Christ, by his obedience and death, did fully discharge the debt of all those that are justified, and did by the sacrifice of himself in the blood of his cross, undergoing in their stead the penalty due unto them, make a proper, real, and full satisfaction to God's justice in their behalf. Their justification is only a free grace that both the exact justice and rich grace of God might be glorified in the justification of sinners. Let me read again from Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. And then the fifth sola is sola fide, justification by faith alone. The material principle of the Reformation was justification by faith alone. As the Westminster Confession says, faith, thus receiving and resting on Christ and his righteousness, is the alone instrument of justification. Yet it is not alone in the person justified, this is important, but is ever accompanied with all other saving graces, and is no dead faith, but worketh by love. So we are saved by faith alone, but not a faith that is alone. It is a faith that results in changed life. The Genevan Confession likewise pointed out the necessity of those justified living by faith, saying, we confess that the entrance which we have to the great treasures and riches of the goodness of God that is vouchsafed us, given to us, promised to us, is by faith. Inasmuch as in certain confidence and assurance of heart, we believe in the promises of the gospel and receive Jesus Christ as he is offered to us by the Father and described to us by the Word of God. Again, as the Scripture says, even so Abraham believed God. This is not something Paul came up with. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous shall live by faith. Galatians 3:6-11. So there we have it. The solas of the Reformation. Sola Scriptura. Scripture alone is our authority. Soli Deo Gloria. For the glory of God alone we live. We do everything. Solo Christo. By Christ alone are we saved. Sola Gratia. Salvation is by grace alone. And sola fide. Justification is by faith alone. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God planned beforehand that we should walk in them. What does it matter? Does it really matter if we care about these solas? I mean, are they really that important? For centuries, people were kept in bondage through fear and ignorance. And they were sitting in church pews just like you are. Tens of thousands, if not millions, of people in bondage, going through the most, thinking they were doing right, but they had no hope. Using the name of Jesus, thinking they were believing in Jesus, and yet, because these truths had been lost, had been covered over by years and years of man-made muck, the gospel was lost. God raised up men. Not beginning with Martin Luther, there were those before him like Tyndale and others who sought to recover these truths, but the Lord used Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and many, many, many others who some gave their lives for these truths so that we, sitting in these pews, are not in bondage. Do have the promise, the hope of the gospel. We need to remember. Whether we remember the Latin terms or not, we need to never forget. Scripture alone is our authority. We live for the glory of God alone. By Christ alone are we saved. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You know, many of our hymns, both traditional and contemporary, bear witness, teach us, remind us of these glorious truths, either in whole or in part. Tonight we're going to close with one of my favorites, hymn number 342, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. If you'll find that in your hymnal, we're going to stand together, and it's also on the PowerPoint. It will be on the screen momentarily. Let's stand as we sing. and are dismissed by singing hymn 342, Rock of Ages, cleft for me.